It's a blessing just to read the book. I like the Bible. A lot of people use their phone or iPad or whatever. I like the book. I like to see the pages and look at the whole thing. And amen. Well, let's look in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. You want to? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad we're doing good in America. We're praying for our president, praying for our government, and that the American people will get fed up with some of these shenanigans that's going on and vote some of these people out and vote some people in. I don't know why we don't get fed up, but America's divided more than, I guess, any other time in history, probably except Civil War. And it's pitiful what the news media and politicians do. Divides us. Don't take good care of the people, what they're elected to do. They're elected to take care of us and and help the nation, and they're not doing that. It's amazing. You can see by some of the Democrats up there, you can see what hate will do to you. It's amazing what hate will do. They hate the president so much, they're blind. They're just totally blind and so immature. And just, it's amazing. And they can't see, and they just fight and divide and scratch. It's supposed to be leaders. It's supposed to be our leaders, but I don't want to follow them. Amen. You whip your children to act like that. Probably what we ought to do then, just go up there, a bunch of them, and just wire them out. Take a switch and just whip them right there on TV. Might get us both in jail a little bit. Acts chapter 1. And praise the Lord. Oh, I made me think. I always say that because old John Cole, that's what he'd say, praise the Lord. Bless his heart, I miss him. Wanda died the other day. Yeah, she went on to be with John. She was, she missed him. And we'd call and talk with her some, and she really missed him and said she was lonesome. And she had a lot of grandkids and family and stuff, but it's not the same. And she really missed him bad, and she went on home to be with him. Praise the Lord. I remember them. I was thinking there the other day, they'd sit down at our house. They'd sit down on the lower deck there on the porch. They'd get out there every morning, sit there in the rocking chairs, a little table between them, and they'd read the Bible to each other. They'd sit there and read, and John would read the scripture and read. Then they'd pray. They had a list of people they prayed for. And go down that list every day and pray. They prayed for the church, and prayed for us, and they'd pray. Then they'd sit there and play cards. And then we'd go somewhere. I'd come to church. While I'd go back, and they'd be sitting down there. They loved it. They loved come to North Carolina. He'd tell me every year. Said, you going to let me come back next year? I said, well, you can come here as long as you want to come here. I said, I'll always let you come, John. He loved it. And John's a good minister. He had a lot of compassion for people, what I liked. He just loved people, and he just wanted to bless people. And he'd tell stories all that. I said, John, I've heard that story 5 times. Would you tell something else? He said, well, you're going to hear it again. Oh, Lord. And so I'd sit there and endure his stories. It's good the first two times, but after that, forget it. Amen. Now, it says here in, let's see where we can start. Jesus said this in chapter 7. Verse 7, chapter 1. For he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his authority. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow. He just went up. Over in 1 Corinthians, is it in 15th chapter, it says that he was seen of over 500 people. Well, wasn't it? I think 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians said he was seen of 500 people at one time. And this is probably at least 500 people there, we know. And he was taken up out on a cloud. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, they stood there and watched him go all the way out of sight, just on a cloud. I believe that cloud was a glory cloud. The Bible says he'll come back in the clouds. Same cloud he went up on, same cloud he's coming back on. Carried him up, glory cloud. Well, it could be another cloud. The Bible says we're surrounded with such a cloud of witnesses. Yeah. Amen? Grandstand. So they stood there and just watched him go all the way out of sight. Just stood there and watched him. Never moved, just stood there looking up. And finally, they stood there long, looked up. Angels had to appear to them. And while they steadfast looked toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, somebody else must have said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. Wow. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, and John, Andrews, and all of them, and we know when it's finally over, there's just 120 of them left there in the upper room. So that was that, 480 left? No, 380. 380 went somewhere out of the 500 anyway. 120 of them left. They endured for 50 days. But there he went up. Now let's look, here he was leaving. Let's look at what happened as he got to heaven. Look over in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. He went up. They saw him go up, and heaven saw him enter. And what he did when he got to heaven, he went in and sat down. He went over and sat down at the right hand of the Father. What's that mean? It means he is through. No more. He sat down. He's finished. Rest. Amen. Now it says here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who in various times King James says sundry times. Means different times. And in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now it's the Old Testament. Those times were dispensations, periods that God set, this different periods of time that God did certain things. And he spoke, God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through the sacrifices. He even spoke through rock. First Corinthians 10 said, this rock is the rock, is Jesus Christ. And so he spoke through that. He spoke in various ways, different ways to them. Anyway, get their attention. The cloud that moved. A fire by night and a shade by day. A cloud. He spoke to them through the cloud, the Bible says. Through sacrifices, through a feast, through all kind of ways he spoke through the Old Testament. But everything that they spoke of in the Old Testament was Jesus. Was Jesus. Has, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? Jesus did. Now notice the last days here he's talking about. That's what Peter said when he stood up on the day of Pentecost. He says, in the last days. The last days started on the day of Pentecost. That's when the last days started. That's also when the church age started. The church age is also a dispensation. There's two dispensations left. The church age dispensation and also the millennial reign. The church age is the last dispensation that he be where he's spoken, where he'll wind things up. The next one will be the millennial reign, where we'll go into that rulership with Jesus Christ, where he'll rule for 1,000 years on this earth. What a day. I am looking forward to that. It'd be all right maybe it started tomorrow, but it can't start tomorrow. We got to have a 7-year in heaven to do some things, get some things settled and organized, and he got to hand out some rewards and hand out some assignments and hand out some authorities and some rank and tell you what your job is going to be, tell you whether or not you did good or bad, all these things he's going to tell us. And we got to have a marriage supper of the Lamb and all that. We got to do all that nice stuff. Praise the Lord. That'll be good. Amen. We're going to sit down. Won't that be a long table? And you say, pass the biscuits. If they're over on the other end of the table, the 7 years will be over before you get a biscuit. Say, forget it. I didn't want one anyway. Better put your order in now. Amen. So just keep the biscuits up there. Maybe there'll be some on this end too. Praise the Lord. Has in these last days spoken to us? Has he spoken to us? Through his Son. It's the only way he speaks now. Through his Son. Now notice. He has appointed, he's appointed heir of all things, and he made the world. Now look with me over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. book of Colossians. Let's see. Let's look in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Wow, do you know you've been qualified? Thanks be to the Father. He has qualified us to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us over into the kingdom of His Son, the Son of His love. Well, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. That word image, the Greek word for that is E-I-O-N, if you want to know that, means the exact image, exact. In every way, He is the exact image of the Father. Now, that's important. Of the invisible God. Now, God has never been seen by man. God has. He's never been seen. But He's been seen through Jesus. Now, God is in the spirit realm, and He's seen there, but in the natural realm, He's never been seen, the Father. If you want to see the Father, you got to look at Jesus. He is the exact image. Exact image. When Philip said, "Show us the Father that it will satisfy us." Jesus said, "How long have I been with you and you still don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the exact image of Him." Exactly. Like Him. Amen? So, if you want to see the Father, you got to see Jesus. You have to read the book. He's the Word. Amen? Now, for by Him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. You go again. All things were created through Him and for Him, Jesus. He created everything. Was created through Him and for Him. Now, the Father God created nothing. You can say it like that, but you can say He created everything. He envisioned it and He spoke it and Jesus did it. He brought it into existence. The Father said, "Let us make man in our image." The Father said, "Let there be light." And Jesus said, "All right. Light be." What was that light? It was Jesus. He's the light. He created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus has always been. He's always been. Even from the very beginning, He's always been. He didn't start when He was born. He'd always been. But He existed in that realm. He existed in the spiritual realm with the Father. Jesus appeared all through the Old Testament. He appeared, if you read in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, that was Jesus. Over about 50 times in the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus in some form appearing. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He was there with Noah. He was all through the Old Testament, Jesus. He created everything. He had a personal view of what was going on at the Tower of Babel. He came down personally. He walked the earth. He took on him a form of man, and he walked the earth. He appeared to Abraham in a tent and sat and talked with him. Amen? Jesus. But he wasn't Jesus then. Called him the angel of the Lord. He was the Word. He didn't become flesh in that form until that night in Bethlehem. He became flesh. Let's look. Well, let me see if I can find this scripture. I just thought of. I believe it's Hebrews. Are you out there? Don't go nowhere. See if I can find this. Well, I don't know if I can or not. Praise the Lord. I was going to show you. Oh, yeah. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'd like to look there at once. Now hold your place there in Colossians. I'm not through. I thought that the only thing the Father God ever created, Jesus created everything. But here it says what the Father created. Hebrews 10, verse 5, therefore when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. The Father created the body for Jesus. Can you see that? The Father did that. That's the only thing the Bible says he created. Jesus created everything else. Back over in Colossians, it said that all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. There go all things again. And in him all things consist. In him is everything. He holds everything together. Now, Jesus, according to that scripture, created this pulpit and says in him all things are held together. They consist. Now, Jesus created this pulpit. Well, man shaped it and formed it, but it was created by Jesus. He made the wood. We can make a pulpit, but you can't make a tree. Amen. Now, in the vision of man, he saw a pulpit, but Jesus probably put that vision or that know-how or that ability within man. You can't do anything without the ability of God. Sometimes we think it's our ability. Well, it is your gift. It is your ability. There's one scripture, I can't think exactly where it's at now, but it talks about the gift that he's given us. It means it's yours. It means you're responsible for it. And that gift, it means ability, talent, personality, whatever it is you've been given, it's yours and you're responsible for it. You're responsible for what you do with it. You're responsible for how you use it. You're responsible for it. That's why he says, Everything you do, you have to do for the glory of God, as unto God, knowing that He has given you everything that you have. You have nothing that He didn't give you. Nothing. Why some people are just prone to mechanical work? Why some people prone to carpenter work? Why some people, you know, like me, I'm pulled toward preaching or pastoring. That's what He put in us. He put that ability in us. God speaks to us. I probably told this before. But God speaks to us every day in every way if we listen. Nature talks to us. You can go outside and sit down. That's why I love nature, being outside. I don't like getting man-made stuff because that's man-made stuff. All that does is speak to you through man-made stuff. But I like to go out where stuff where God made. He'll speak to you. Well, there for a while, I had two little old dogs, Hank and Roy. Or little Roy, he died. Hank died too now. But Hank, you know, might not know anything about dogs. You probably know little foo-foo dogs. But these were hunting dogs by nature. Hank was a mountain feist. Being a mountain feist, they're tree dogs. Meaning, when they go after game, the game that climbs the tree, they get at the foot of the tree and they look up and bark and let you know the game, hey, it's in this tree. And that's what they're barking. They'll say, here it is, here it is, here it is. So you got to interpret their barking. That's what they're saying to you. I hunted, you know, old tree dogs in the woods of a night. One be over on the side of the hill, and they'll say, it's over here. And here we go running with our lights, and we'll go over and say, where's it at? It's there it is, there it is, there it is. Now, they got after, and Roy was a beagle, meaning he's not a tree dog. He runs a track. Whatever the game lays down like a rabbit, he's a rabbit dog. He'll run the track. They're good at smelling track. Hank, he's not pretty much a track dog. He wins or puts a dog like that, they'll hold their nose up like that, smell where it went. And where a beagle or a track dog, they'll put their nose to the ground and smell where it went. Well, I was watching them there one day in the backyard. They got after a squirrel. So he took over through the yard of flying and went up a tree. Roy, he is barking at every breath. Here he went. Go, here it goes, here it goes. And Hank was barking too. Well, he got to a tree and went up a tree, and Hank sat down by the tree and looked up and started barking. Roy didn't know where it went. He's just going everywhere. He said, Hank, I hear you barking, but I don't see nothing. I can't smell nothing. I don't know where it went. And the Holy Spirit told me, He said, that's how my gifts are in people. You can't develop what's not in a person. You can take a tree dog, if you're wanting to hunt squirrels, you have to get the right dog for the right game. Don't buy a beagle if you're going to hunt squirrel. You'll be very disappointed. You can take what's inside of them and develop that and make a good hunting dog out of them. I know I hunted the coons and things, and people used to say, I want to go with you. I said, no, you don't. Well, what do you do with them? Nothing. Well, do you kill them? No. Well, what do you hunt them for? It's the dog. The sport's the dog. And I tell people, listen, it's a traditional mountain thing. If you didn't grow up in it, please don't go try it. It's something that you get in you growing up. When I grew up, that was what we did for recreation. When my daddy and people, they grew up in the mountains, if you had a good dog, you ate good. Or you got game and you sold the fur and things, and you made a living. Plus, it was a recreation. That's all you did. I know every Thanksgiving, we went rabbit hunting. I mean, everybody around it had beagles. They went rabbit hunting on Thanksgiving. That's what we did. We always had rabbit dogs. Daddy did. Or, you know, we grew up coon hunting. And it, as a kid, you know, with camaraderie and out, it gets in you. And it just, you know, you grow to love it. Get out in the woods. And I just, you know, we liked it. So you could... So I had some dogs, and they've got now where you can train them. It's a sport, and it's competition. You can put them in competition with one another, and you can make a champion and go all the way up to world champion with them. And I had one dog was what you call a night champion, where he'd won some things. But Mike and I, we were at a hunting dog show and thing hunt one night. Dogs everywhere. There was a dog there, and that's been 10 years, I guess. That was a dog there that sold for $50,000. No, it's $60,000. $60,000. A dog. A hound dog. There's nothing for them to sell for $5,000, $7,500, $10,000. You couldn't even buy a low-grade dog for $1,500, $2,000. You know, pups will bring $1,000, $1,500. And so they take these, and it's more, I tell you, it takes really a good dog. And what you do when you're picking a good dog, you look at their pedigree. You go all the way back. You check their heritage, their lineage. See, we go all the way back. See, we got blood in us. Good blood. That's what makes us what we are. So when you go over picking a pup, you check them out. You go all over. You don't just check their mother and daddy. You jump back and see what they were, and you go back and see what their grandparents were. That's what makes them. And so you can take one that's good. It's got it in it. It's inside of it. But you got to know how to train it and bring it out of it. And you'll take one that you know it's in that dog. And my job is to bring that out. Now, if it's not in there, you might as well forget it. You're wasting your time. You'll get so frustrated. It's got to be inside. Well, God put things in us like that. It's like trying to make a preacher out of somebody that don't have it. You can't make it if it's not in there. It won't work. Amen? Trying to make a tree dog out of a beagle. And I was sitting there, and God explained all that to me while I was sitting there with them two dogs. But it's true. He said, you know, it's in us. Whatever he puts in us. He puts skills. He puts anointings. He puts personality. He puts things in us. Par is for whatever he's called us to do. He'll even give you the personality to fit your calling. See, everything is by God. You have nothing. Nothing's yours. He gave it all to you. Now, you can have the best dog in the world. You can take that pup, and you know it has just champions, world champions in its bloodline. And you can take it, and say, and you can sit on the porch in the swing and say, now that's going to be a real dog, and never get off the porch. That's the way some people are. They have it in them, but they never get off the porch. They never use it. They never work with it. You use it, the Bible says, you use it or you lose it. Amen? You lose it or you use it. Use it or you lose it. You know what I mean? And that's exactly the way it is. Whatever it is in you, you have to work it. I tell preachers, listen, and they'll say, well, I'm waiting for the right door to open. Well, you can sit on the porch you know, with the best dog in the world. You got to put it in the woods, buddy. You got to go where it's at. Start doing, using what you've got anywhere you can find to use it. And by using it, it will grow, and it will grow, and you'll find out by using it, you'll find out you'll hit it one day. You're not going to be a champion unless you start where you're at. Amen? Now, so much for my dog, Dory. Called pedigree. Or you have a mutt, you know. I've had good dogs or mutts, but not very often. But all, Jesus created all things. Well, I'll get back to the scripture. He made all things. So whatever he puts in you, it gets perfected by use. And if you'll use it, it'll get better. Amen? So he created all things. Notice he created through him. And the Bible also says everything was created for his pleasure. For his pleasure. You know, now you look at the earth, how it runs. And people have asked me about the millennial reign, how I thought it would operate and run. Well, look how the earth's running now. It'll work just like it is now. Just exactly the same way. Only there'll be universal health care. And no politician come up with it. Be universal health care. Universal prosperity. Universal joy. Universal peace. And all be real. But it'll run. It'll operate. There'll be road crews. There'll be governments. There'll be law enforcement officers. We'll have all these things, just like it is now. Because there'll be people born during the millennium, and everybody won't be saved. You'll have to keep every... Because the Bible says Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. That means he's going to be tough. And you go up to Jerusalem every year, and the ones who goes up and worships, they'll get rain on their nation. The ones that don't, won't. Or the people will be blessed another year. You know, the people just born in that. You and I will have a glorified body. There's benefits for us being in the church. Everything Jesus did was for the church. See, in the New Testament, it talks about mystery. That's what the Old Testament, it was hidden all through the Old Testament. They didn't know what was coming or what all the types and shadows were. It was talking about Jesus, but Jesus came for one reason, to build his church. The mystery, Paul got the mystery of it, but it was the church. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is the last days, and in these days, on Pentecost came, the church started. That's what it's all for, is what you and I have here tonight, is the church. That was the dream of God. The dream of Jesus, it was all through the Old Testament, was what you and I have here tonight. And some people don't value it or never take part of it. Amen? Are you making any sense to you? Well, I told you a good dog story anyway. I don't care what the rest of you think. Praise the Lord. And before all things and in all things, he holds together. I was reading something one time. It's talking about matter and things and space. I don't understand all of it. But it said like something, a solid mass like this. There's more space in it than there are the mass. But you can't see it. It has put together. And Jesus holds it together. His word holds everything together. And if his word was to go void, everything would fall apart. It don't make sense, but he holds everything together. Amen? By his word. And he, verse 8, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he has the preeminence or priority. the church, and in all things, Jesus has the priority. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, being made peace through the blood of the cross. Amen. Now look back over in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus put all things together. All through the Old Testament, Jesus appeared. Jesus showed up. Jesus just didn't start. Well, he did. The name Jesus, the man side. Jesus is the man side of him. Christ is the spiritual side. But in the Old Testament, he's called the Word. Whatever. You understand all that, don't you? And let's see. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, of the Father's glory, are the shining forth of God, and the expressed image of his person. The expressed image or the exact likeness of his person. That word person means substance. Jesus is the very likeness of the substance of God. God the Father has substance. He's not just a spirit, what we think be spirit, that's just floats around or a smoke or what. He has substance. And Jesus is the very exact image of that substance of the Father, of his person. Amen? And upholding all things by the word of his power. See, I told you. The spoken word holds all things together by the rhema. That word there means rhema. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, we saw where he left the earth. Now here's where we see him enter heaven. After he purged our sins, he left and went straight up and sat down on the right hand. Right hand meaning a place of authority. He ruled from there. And there's all kinds of scriptures that tells us what he's doing now at the right hand of the Father. In the book of Romans, he tells us he's sitting there in Romans 8 interceding for you. Amen? Now, let's see. At the right hand of having become. Now, here's what I want you to see. Having become so much better than the angels. Having become so much better than the angels. Now, wait a minute. You mean he wasn't already much more or better than the angels? Absolutely. He was already better than the angels. In the Old Testament, he was the angel of the Lord or the Word of God. He was God himself, the expressed image of the substance. He was already better than the angels. So what's it mean having become better than the angels? Well, let's look in Philippians chapter 2. Are you all right? Chapter 2, verse 5. See if I can finish this up. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at that name of what? Jesus. Now notice, Jesus is the man side. Jesus, now here's what Hebrews is saying. He was God, took upon himself the form of man, and as in that man is what won the redemption. The man, it wasn't deity didn't win it. Deity already had it. Deity could not die. Deity could not pay the price for our sin. It had to be a man. So he took upon himself the form of a servant, a man, and that man humbled himself and come down lower than the angels. And here, in Hebrews said, having become. See, he won the battle. He paid the price and he won the redemption, and that exalted him now above angels and seated him at the right hand of the Father and given him a name. And that name was not the name of deity. That name is the name of man. And when you say Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the face of the devil, you're telling the devil, hey, listen, a man whipped you. A man won back the authority. A man did it, and all of the glory was bestowed upon that man. And that man has the authority, and he's the one that has the key. And in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Christ. Christ is the deity side. Jesus is the man side. And in the name of Jesus, the man, I bind you. Amen? Now look back in Hebrews. Let's see. Where was that? And having become much better than the angels, having become as a man, so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. As a man, he came all the way down to nothing and won the victory as a man. Jesus did not do what he did as God. He did that as a man anointed by God. That's why he birthed faith, he won faith, and he gave faith to us and said, listen, he's the firstborn among the brethren, the first begotten of all of us. So he won all that as a man, and he said, hey, you're a man. The same works I did as a man, you can do also as a man. Because I'm going unto my Father. Jesus did everything he did when he walked this earth, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he says, I give you that anointing. The works I do, you shall do, and greater works you'll do because I go unto my Father. And Jesus said, I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to do any more works. The works now is left up to my church. He's sitting there interceding for us to do the work. Jesus said, I did it. I whipped him. It wasn't God that whipped him. It was the man side of Jesus. He had to lay that down. Amen? And becoming so much better than the angels, having become, he obtained a great, an excellent name. For to which of the angels did he ever say? Never, in other words, I think the Greek says, he never did say to any of the angels. Never did say, you're my son, today have I begotten you. And again, I will be a father to you. Again, I'll be a father to you. And you shall be a son. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and ministers spirits, you know, and a flame of fire. Hallelujah. Let's see. And it goes on. But the Son of Man, he says, your throne, O God, is forever settled. Then the whole book of Hebrews is talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He became like Melchizedek, the high priest that came to Abraham. Jesus here is, Hebrews is talking about Jesus becoming our high priest as a man, seated in the heavens at the right hand of the Father as a man. The body of Jesus Christ is sitting beside the Father. And he's saying, listen, I know how you feel. I faced every temptation. In all points, I was tempted like you without sin and everything. And I know how you feel. And the Bible says he's able to help us in time of trouble because he knows how we feel, because as a man, he went through it. And he won the victory. And having become greater than the angel. Well, at one time he wasn't. That's why we, the Bible, he's talking here and he says, Paul did, said, can't you in the church solve these problems? Don't you know you're going to rule angels? That's why angels now are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. They're ministering to us as the authority we've been given by Jesus Christ in the church, his church. We're his church, his body. You see, if he did it as God, you and I, then, well, heck, you know, you're God. No wonder you can do it. You're God. No wonder you could cast out devils. No wonder you could heal the sick. No wonder you could go through temptation and trial. You're God. We're not God. You don't even know how I feel. But he said, I didn't do it as God. I took upon me no form of godliness. I laid all that down. And as a man, I faced the devil. As a man. So he knows exactly how we feel. And he said, I authored faith. I put faith to the test and proved it, and it works. Now I give that faith to you. And he said, the works I do. You mean, yeah. Well, I guess you can do works. You're God. But we can't say that to him. He didn't do it as God. Amen. So he's sitting at the right hand of the Father now, the place of authority, a place of rest, because he finished his work. No more will Jesus, now he can, he appears to people, but he doesn't come here to the earth now to do anything, or he comes to encourage us, to help us, or instruct us to do things, because he gave all the responsibility to us. He said, you're my body, now you finish. That's the original dream of the Father. That's the original dream of Jesus in the very beginning, to come all the way down through the cross to birth a church, to bring his church into existence, or his church. We're not the bride yet, but we will be, to be an example of him in the earth. Just like he said, when you have seen the Father and the substance of the Father, when you've seen me, you've seen him. And in John chapter 17, he said, now when you see my church, you'll see me. It's the way it's supposed to be. And he said, you know, that's why my first commandment is to love one another. And he, because he said, the world, when they see my church, they'll see me. So that's the greatest thing, that our job on this earth is to be like Jesus. It's not to have all kind of power and you know, be rich. It's to be like Jesus. Because Jesus said, when you see me, you see the substance of my Father. And he said, now, and John chapter 17, he said, I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you, and we're in each other, and we're also in the Father. We're all, you know, in the beginning, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we got the church. And the church is in him, and we're his body, so we're part. Not in deity, but we're part like he was in the flesh. That's why he's the firstborn begotten. Amen? Wow, that's heavy. Stand up with me. Praise the Lord. Having become or becoming greater than the angels. That's why that name is not deity name. It's the man side. That's what tears the devil up. He beat him as a man. He whipped him as a man. Amen. He could have, as Satan knew him well, because Jesus said, I was there when he was cast out. Jesus probably the one threw him out. So he knew Jesus well, and he knew him every time. He appeared all through the Old Testament. But when he appeared as a little baby in that manger, he didn't appear as God. Man. And he had to grow up. See, God created Adam full grown. He created Eve full grown. But the body he created for Jesus was a baby. Why didn't he make him full grown? Because he had to go through everything you and I go through. Every level, every stage, he had to go through puberty, he had to go through being a teenager, had to go through young adulthood. He had to go through everything we go through. That's why we can't ever say, well, you don't know how I feel. Oh, yes, I do. I did everything I did on the earth. That's why I was born a baby and I grew up in a family, went through all the things with my siblings, fighting and wrestling. Wow. And whip the devil. Wow. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the body of Christ, to have Jesus, to be a joint heir with Jesus. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, but he's also our big brother. Hallelujah. That's a mystery, Lord. We don't understand it all, but thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us, taking on the form of a bondservant, a human being, a man, and winning the prize as a man, and earning a name, more excellent name, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And we have that name, and we have authority. And when you've seen the body, you've seen Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Bless the people. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that make any sense to you? Glory, glory, glory. It's hard when you get things, try to express it, you know, to where people can get it. That's why, you know, if you've ever taught or whatever, you have it inside of you, but trying to bring it out and get, you know, you don't never are sure of yourself. So praise the Lord. Remember tomorrow night you set your clock back, right? Is that the morning? Okay, you fall backward. You can get up and come to church. All right, you're dismissed.